You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardner, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
Down like 12 fractional grams. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the tree right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out of the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, I got to tell you something. I got a bunch of smoke and dust and a bunch of junk up my nose here. I got to tell you the reason why. I dusted off a bunch of old stuff down in the coffers, and I found, dated back to 1981, Bill, an album. Okay, do you remember what an album was back then?
Yeah, that album was like a vinyl record.
You bet, vinyl. And it has been open. And it has,
wow,
Bigfoot Alive in 1981. You made,
wow,
a movie back then. Well, the soundtrack, of course, was dubbed over, and I got to tell you, Rambling Jack Marlborough, who did this, there's 10 cuts or 11 cuts on this thing, and they are incredible. 30 years ago today, ladies and gentlemen, 30 years ago today, this thing was released. I'm going to play you guys a snippet or two of some of the songs here, but, and listen to the words, because it's going to blow your mind. Need to listen to the word that this writer came to stay with me and Ivan Marks in the woods 30 years ago, and he listened to our stories. He was out in the woods with us, and he put these 10 or 11 songs together. Listen to the words, listen to the beat, and see if it's not very apropos for today. Coming at you. Take a listen.
What you think I'm singing? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and we're talking to Marcus and Joe. Well, for a little house out in the St. John's Wharf, Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp. Bigfoot Boogie.
That was number one, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to number two.
What to say to the believer? Tell me who to say. You think that we've come this far, looking back on yesterday? Because you hadn't seen sun. Tend to disbelieve. Though you've never known death, when someone dies, you grieve. Though you've never seen the good Lord, there's ones that worship him each day. Find them in the chapels, and on their knees to pray.
Light your path each day.
My sister Moon, midnight takes its place. My wish for you, no matter who you be, to share my gifts and live in harmony. Drink from my stream.
Listen to this next song. Tell me if you hear anybody's names that you know. Here we go.
Best.
Before its time, 3 decades, 30 years, count them, 10, 20, 30. That stuff here could be played today. It's got the beat, it's got the rhythm, and it's got the lyrics and words. My God, is it off the chain. What do you think of that, Marco Bill?
It's pretty good.
Huh?
It's pretty good.
Well, I'm going to tell
you. Well, that's why we use them for the intro and outro on our show.
Yeah, but they've never heard all the songs in between. And they got a little snippet of all of them. I gotta
all
you,
they got to do, Mr. Tommy,
yes,
is go up on www.shoppingforbigfoot.com and buy the CD.
I'll tell you.
The song's on it.
You bet. You bet. We've got it in a CD format, ladies and gentlemen. And all you people who are buying Bigfoot memorabilia, nobody has this. Not a one, okay? I released it. I'm doing a new one right now. I'm going to have it all digitized, and it sounds incredible, I got to tell you, okay? It's off the chain, ladies and gentlemen. It was before its time. This stuff is good enough to do the two-step, a line dance, do whatever to it. But you got to listen to the words. This man came up, lived with Ivan and I in the woods. He produced this album for the soundtrack. And I'll tell you what, if you have not seen In the Shadow of Bigfoot or Bigfoot Lives in 81 or 2, get it. It's on our website. It's incredible. You know, I just want to do a couple of shout-outs and a big mutual prayer for everybody out there. We got Chuck Creel's daddy. He's going in for an operation today. Our prayers go out to Don. Leroy Blevins has a relative going into the hospital this week. Our prayers go out to him, too. Now, before we get started tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you know what's our anniversary show. 5 years. Count them. One, all the things in the middle to the five. We've been often imitated. They tried to copy us and duplicate us. But we are the originators. We take the lead on the Bigfoot airwaves. That's right. Bigfoot Live Radio. 5 years, folks. Count them. We're still here. We're still going strong, and it's because of you, okay? We don't bring up the old hash crap 40 years ago. We bring you guys each and every week the hottest and newest news and encounters in the Bigfoot world. The imitators, the procrastinators, the instigators, they're all gone. But the originators are still here. And our colors don't change, ladies and gentlemen. It's like the flag of the United States of America. They don't fade at all. We're true red, white, and blue. And we're here to stay. And God willing, we're going to be here for another 10 or 15 or 20 years. What do you say to that, Mr. Bill?
I say that's it.
You bet, good buddy. I want to say hello to all my friends out there in the chat room. Bill Green, Dr. Watson, East Coast Jack, White Touch, General Giant, Johnny Paulson, Kara Lee, B. Joyner, Mount Donna, Rex Howdy Shell, Tin Can, Texas Lone Star, Tyler, guest, and the goes on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, goes on and on and on. I'm going to tell you something right now. When it comes to this CD, ladies and gentlemen, okay, I'm only going to put out for sale and production out there. I'm going to do 100 of them. That's it. They will not be sold after the 100. They will not be 101. 100 of the new ones coming out, okay? They will be numbered. These things will be sought after, and they will be worth a ton of money, son. Trust me, okay? Now, let me tell you how this thing came down. We had over 560 names in the hat, okay? We had a category, and we set ourselves, Bill and I, for 2 days, and said, let's do a lottery system. The lottery system was, we know we needed so many for the 2 hours on a 5-minute increment. So we went through, and at random, the names that came up are the ones that are on the show tonight, ladies and gentlemen, okay? And then there was backups in case some people couldn't make it, just like Tim Fasano, he turned 6. Nevertheless, so all those other people, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts that all was going to be on the show. But you know what? We know who you are. We love each and every one of you, and thank you for your continued support and participation in our lives. And we hope it goes down this line for many, 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 many more years. But we have a ton of them ready to go. I guess we're going to start with David Clare. Is that correct?
Yes, we are, and we're going to have to follow a timeline or something because we're running way behind.
Buddy, I'm so
okay,
sorry.
David Clare's on right now.
David, how are you, son?
I'm fine. How are you, son?
Well, listen, a lot of people don't know what we're doing, David, but I'm going to give them a quick, real 411. David, ladies and gentlemen, is doing a lot of our work when it comes to our new stuff that we're going to be doing on VOD and our distribution of our videos throughout the world. So you're going to be seeing a lot of Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, and In the Shadow of Bigfoot. All the artwork, ladies and gentlemen, is his. It's our man that we've got right now who's become of our part of our family. We love him. He's been on a ton of expeditions with us. Why don't you give our listeners out there, David, some of the inner parts of the most exciting parts of any one of those expeditions when you were in the field with us?
Okay, yeah. I think probably the most exciting one was earlier this year in Frost, Texas. And we not only got photographs of the hand reaching up for the peanut butter jar, but also when we were in the field, and we were out there just about all night, and we did see eye shine. We did see tracks walking through the wet grass. And at one point, I think I was pretty close, and the really exciting part was when the creature was growling. And this was a very deep resonating growl that I could feel in my chest. And I wasn't the only one that experienced this. Tom, or actually Lee Joyner, and his son heard this and felt this growl as well within a few minutes of when I did. So there was a lot of activity there, and pretty amazing.
I remember it like it was yesterday, and I want to thank you and all those people. Gosh, we had, what, 26, 28 people out there with us that night?
Yeah, quite a few. Close to 30, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was an incredible evening, and boy, when at the end of the early morning or late night, my gosh, it was all incredible. Just incredible what we came up with. But that just goes to show you when you've got that drive and determination, we can make it happen. Isn't that true?
Exactly. And to everyone out there, I think Tom has got to be one of the most energetic and persistent people that I've ever met. And it's just incredible the amount of effort, time and effort and energy he puts into these projects.
Thank you so much, David. listen, God bless you. I'll be talking to you in the next few days. I know our project is almost coming to fruition here, and you've got a lot done, I think. Thank you and for joining us. Mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more guests, and you know a lot of them, too. God bless you, my brother.
Okay, I'll be listening in. Thanks, Tom.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was David Clarence, Texas. He's been on a bunch of expeditions. He's done the anatomy or abstract anatomy of the footprints. You'll see a lot of his work. He's done the covers of our CDs or DVDs and the stuff that's coming out now for our VODs and the stuff that you're going to be able to get at Best Buy, Target, Walmart, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is all going to be his work. He's an upcoming graphic artist, and he's one hell of an individual. We love him. Let's get out there to Alabama. Chuck Creel, you heard me talk about his daddy going in for an operation, and he made time to be with us today. Chuck, you out there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. How you doing?
How you doing, son?
Hanging in there, bud, just up in the air, you know. I want to congratulate you and Marco on your shows. How many episodes now is it total?
Well, you know, take it by 52 weeks out of the year times 5, so that's what, 260 shows, Marco?
I grew up.
We've got a lot of lot of special episodes also, Tom. So it's 261 right now.
261 episodes, unbelievable.
Holy cow! Congratulations, y'all.
Thank you so much. Listen, how's Dad?
I want to say this right here real quick, and I put that special. I'm sure you got it on your email. I put that special call out for people to pray. You know. Guess what? My dad was, his lungs was filled up. He was trying to get all that done. He went home today. Tell me there ain't power in prayer.
Wow.
You know, he went home today. What they're doing is they're sending him home, and they're going to wean him off of his blood thinning medicine. And once that's all done and he's weaned off that, then they're going to schedule him for surgery. So I just want to thank all the Bigfooters, you know, for the prayer. There is power in prayer, buddy.
That it works, don't it? Listen, do me a favor. I want you to tell us what was your most exciting outing with us out in the field searching for Bigfoot. Tell everybody.
Most exciting outing, other than finding my track out there in Paris, Texas, was when we went down here in these cow pastures, and that thing started screaming and hollering. And you grabbed me. You remember, you put your hand on me and you said, "Listen." And that thing started screaming, and it did it three nights in a row. And you said, "Holy cow." You know, you remember that, Tom?
I remember it like it was yesterday, son. I also remember that day that you found your first print when you were out there by yourself. You with, I forget, you were Tommy and somebody else. But anyhow, they passed it up, and you found it. And who has that print, by the way?
I got her.
You sure did.
It's hanging on my wall, you know. As a matter of fact, I said, "Well, you know what? Tom paid for me to go out there, and then tell me something else, Tom. Tell me another Bigfooter that pays somebody to go Bigfooting." You know.
You know, I got to tell you a story. There's a guy that's close to you. I think his name is John L. Johnson. And he posted something out there, ladies and gentlemen. You might want to go see it. It's on cryptozoology.com. And on the left, because they're trying to promote Scott Marlowe's book, and incidentally, it's off the charts. You need to get one of them. To the left, I think second one down, it says Wildlife Photographer. Click on there. This is the guy that went out with the guy from Arizona, the guy from New Mexico, and the guy from Kentucky in LBL, Land Between the Lakes, and he thought he had a big find, and now he's saying that he went out there, spent all that money, paid for these guys to come out there, and all he found out was there's an awful lot of big hoaxers, you know, plural,
right.
Many, okay? So I wonder what he means by that, and by the way, I feel very sorry for the man because he says, you'll see it there, just don't listen to me, read it yourself, that he spent in excess of $10,000, and what a waste it was because he could have spent that in good faith. And I don't blame the guy because there's a lot of idiots out there. But I want to tell everybody something. If you've got tenure in this business, tenure meaning many, many years like I have, and if you haven't been hoaxed, well, then you
have. There ain't nobody out there, Tom, got as many years as you do, period.
I love you for that. But what I'm trying to say, son, is this. If they haven't been hoaxed, well, then they haven't been searching, have they?
No, sir, they ain't. You know, I'm just saying I would have never been able to go out to. Do you want me to tell what happened when we was out there?
Tell them the truth. Go ahead. I don't care. I love it.
We went down. You remember that? Who's your buddy that was up in the tree stand with his bow and all?
Oh yeah, you know? Yeah. That's. Oh, shoot. He's down there from the desert.
Yeah, shoot. That's a terrible thing. But you remember, we went. He went to the store. He left.
Yeah, they left. Exactly.
And then he come back. And said, "Tom, I just talked to this guy up here. We got to go down to this area." You know?
Yeah.
So me, you, and Greg took off, and TJ, everybody took off, and we went down there. And we drove, it was probably, what would you say, maybe 2-3 miles down there to that, to the little creek bottom.
Yeah,
you couldn't go no further. Remember that? I told you I was fixing to get naked and swim across there.
That's right. As a matter of fact, it was on private property because it was fenced, remember?
Well, yeah, exactly. But what we was on, we was not on private property. We was on... You remember that Lady Gant, Game Warden told us there better not be nobody toting down here or none of that stuff, you know?
Yep.
So I guess we was on, like, a National Wildlife Reserve or whatever, but we was, me and you, and TJ was, we went up the creek to try to find a way to get across the creek because you could cross that creek and find, you could see tracks over there. And that's when we want, I mean, if you're going to fake a print, Tom, okay, you're not going to do it 3 miles down a dirt road and 100 yards up a creek bottom. And that's when I went
out. I was shocked myself because we had never, in the time that we've been there, Never, never been in that area, okay? And here he left us, but he thought it pertinent enough after hearing the story from that guy at the hotel to go back in that area, and that's when we all took off, and that's where we saw it. And thanks to you, because if it wasn't for you, we would have never found that print.
No, I got to disagree with you there.
Hey, tell me.
Thanks to you, because if you hadn't paid for me and Greg to come out there, I would have never found it.
Now you're too kind.
I got you there, young man.
All right, listen, I love you. We've got to continue on. We got many, many more guests. Say hello to Dad for me, and we'll talk to you real soon. Just mute yourself out. We got a lot more show, son.
I'll let you know when they're going to do surgery.
Thanks, Scott. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
That's, ladies and gentlemen, that's Chuck Creel down there in Alabama. Just another sweetheart of a guy. Now we're going up to Montana. We're going up to see my brother. My brother from another mother up on the reservation, the Blackfeet. Bruce Schilt. Bruce, you out there?
Yes, Tom. Hello. How are you?
Top drawer, brother. Just top drawer. And I got to tell you straight up, it's always a delight to hear your voice. It's always great to have you on the show. And all I can tell you is this. It all started how many years ago with you and I?
4 years, I believe.
Has it been 4 years that we've known each other now? Listen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Bonded, okay? We've got a 4-year relationship with the Blackfeet Indians, and we're still there on the reservation. And you know what? A lot of them tried to imitate. A lot of them tried to come up there and copy us. But what happens? What do you do to those people when they say that we sent them?
I don't talk to them. I don't have nothing to do with them. I mean,
Can't talk to him tonight.
Okay, Bill, excuse me. Bill, what do we got going here?
Somebody was unmuted themselves.
Oh, okay. All right. So what was your most interesting time with us up there?
Oh, the time I fell down and bumped my head and that Bigfoot was whistling at me.
Yeah.
He was leaving, he whistled again. I think he's watching us when we go up there, and he's just telling us goodbye that he knows that we're there, letting us know he is there. But today, Tom, I got good news.
Really? Tell me.
And maybe Saturday or Sunday, I'll be out looking for another spot where tracks were spotted. They're going to take me out there. My neighbor found them last week, and maybe Saturday I'm going to go up and find out there's bones and stuff around this coulee where tracks were. Really excited about it. I'll let you know about it.
That would be wonderful. Listen, we got a whole lot of show, and thank you so much. You know, the lottery system, you happen to be one of those luckies, I got to tell you. And I'll tell you what, lottery system or no lottery system, if you hadn't been picked, I would have called you anyway to have you be there with us. And I love you and Donna and the kid, and you know that.
I love you too, Tom.
Okay, you mute yourself out here, and we got a whole lot more show, and say hello to everybody. We'll see you soon, okay?
Okay, Tom.
Bye-bye, buddy.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's my brother from another mother up there on the Blackfeet Reservation, Bruce Schilt and the family. Now we're going out there to the coast. Who found friends back, ladies and gentlemen. This guy's been making everybody crazied up with his vocalizations and his imitations that he does out in the field. Hell of a job for us. Jack, you out there?
I'm out here, Tom. Nice to be with you. Marco Bill, the same.
Hey, thank you so much for sharing your evening with us, knowing how dedicated you are. And I understand that you've kind of perfected that vocalization that you tried to do last week that you couldn't do very well.
Well, not exactly me perfecting it. I can do it fairly well when I'm out in the field and I scream it at the top of my voice. But on the show, I wasn't really trying to. I agree with you. Last week, it didn't really come out like an animal sound, but I wasn't trying necessarily to do that. I was trying to show your listeners phonetically how this thing sounds so that when they hear the sound themselves, they'll know that it's the creature. And more importantly, they'll know what the creature is saying because this is part of their language. I've heard it numerous times now, and I know what they're, whenever you hear this sound, what they're actually saying is basically, hey, the human guy's here, or humans are here, it's time to head out of Dodge. And many times when they do this vocalization, you'll also hear the so-called peacock cries. And I know a lot of skeptics say, oh, those aren't Bigfoot cries, they're a red fox vixen scream. But, you know, I've done my research. I know animal sounds, and this is no red fox. They can't hit the notes or the duration of the sound that the Bigfoot creature does. But what I'd like to do, Tom, if I have time tonight, I know we're in a hurry, is actually run through that one more time phonetically with you and then actually play an audio clip. I got it queued up, and I'll have my speakers up pretty loud so that everyone can hear it, and so you can understand what it sounds like phonetically, and then actually hear it for yourself.
Got 90 seconds. You got the stage. Go.
All right. Phonetically, it just basically goes, okay, that's how it goes. Now you're going to hear in this clip, you're going to hear one creature vocalizing that. Then you'll hear a second creature vocalize back. It might go a third time, and then you're going to hear me in the background say, oh, something to the effect of, I think that's Bigfoot. And then I hear a peacock scream. You'll hear the high-pitched scream. And then I'll say, yeah, that's Bigfoot, or I know that's Bigfoot. And then I think there might be one more of the what I call the warning call cries, the ooh. So I'm going to cue it up now. Is everybody ready?
We're waiting for you.
Okay, here we go. That's it. Did it come through?
It did, loud and clear, and I got to tell you, it came out pretty damn good, too. Listen, I want to thank you for what you've done and what you're doing. Not many people are on this continual quest as you are, and it's an idyllic pleasure and honor to have you with us. We got so many people. I got to get them all in. Thank you so much. Mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show. I'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you for having me.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, Jack East Coast, what a joy, what a delight. Now we're going back to Texas to see, talk to one of my brothers. This man and his son, I can't say anything better than a true friend. Lee Joyner, you out there, Lee?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Well, as you know, been an incredible roller coaster ride for us for 5 years, Lee. And you've been a part of a lot of them with us there out there in Texas. You are our connection. And it's been a wonderful time, a wonderful roller coaster ride having join us, you and your wonderful son. Can you tell everybody the time that you had the best time with us and what it entailed? Could you tell everybody?
Yeah, it had to be in Frost, Texas, when we was down there last year. Frost. We put some bait out and stuff, and we got the creature to come in and, you know, mess with the bait, and we got a picture of its hand, you know, digging out the peanut butter and wiping it on the tree and all that.
Pretty incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. It, to hear that thing growl on the other side of the lake when we was over there going through the woods, that was just, I never heard nothing like that before in my life.
But you know what? You were there when it all happened. You were there when it all happened. And you were there firsthand with a bunch of people in your team, I think, too, wasn't it?
Yeah. There was some people on my team. We heard that growl. It kind of spooked all of us. We didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And after that, you took us to everybody out to breakfast. There must have been about 30 people there. We had a good time.
Well, and you remember what time of the morning we went?
Yeah, it's about 4 or 5 in the morning.
Oh, gosh, what a time. You know, this is going to go down in the memoirs of the Bigfoot world, I'll guarantee it. You know what? You and Lauren were part of it. I love you, man. Just mute yourself.
Love you, too.
Thanks for sharing this night, this very special night with us, okay? Oh,
congratulations on 5 years, and hopefully a lot many more.
Thank you, brother. And say hello to Lauren for us, okay?
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, a very special man, gentleman, him and his son, family, one hell of a good guys. And they're always there. Never said no. Always there, no matter whatever I needed. Now, without any further ado, let's get out there back to Montana. Good old fella of mine, man. A weary old soul that beat many tracks down the road with me. I consider him a friend, a fantastic researcher. Besides that, a great human being. Don Monroe, you out there, Don?
Yeah, how you doing? Congratulations on your program.
Thank you so much, Don. Thank you, and it was an honor to have you with us tonight because with this lottery system, I didn't know if you were going to be there. And like I told him, I says, look, man, I says, he's there in our first movie and everything, but out on numerous occasions with us on Expedition. What happens if he don't come in there? I want him in there. Son of a gun, look at you. You're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're 6th on the list that came up on the lottery. That means you got some clout, brother.
I got a few kudos, I guess.
You bet you do. Hey, Don, do me a favor. Tell our guests, because it's always a delight when you tell the story, what was the most expedition that you went out on that stuck in your mind that you could really remember the most? In what area?
Well, there's several of them, but it's been quite a while. It's 6 years ago I was with you. And your tenacity, I must say, is unique in anybody's estimation. I don't never saw a person who goes as hard at it as you do. And the time in probably Minnesota up there where we talked about it in the last show, as I'm with you, a while back here, basically a little bit, where they, the boy has chased that pseudo Bigfoot down where I was at in the dark, sat down in about 30 feet from me and then ho-hummed for a while. I know he was there the whole time. It wasn't one of us. And had a gimp to it. Had a gimp when it come down through there on the radio. Guys hollering back and forth. It limped. Well, I know it did too because come down through there. It definitely was favoring its leg, way of acting like it was favoring itself for possibly being hurt somehow or something. And then we had found the next day in that sand pile. We discussed it before about how they ran through an ant pile and left a definite foot track in there. It was very well defined. You know, it was a pretty interesting time. Although when Don Sherman and I saw one time down with you down in Paris, Texas, and you weren't with us that night, but it was out in the swamp at 2 in the morning, and it was just about 45 yards across the river from us, and that was pretty interesting. It was like night monocle. Your tenacity is is no one's got like that. Your tenacity of yourself, you're pretty well hard to beat.
Incredible. It means a lot to me. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you a story. When we first hooked up, and he's seen how we traveled. He was on the phone calling everybody. He says, man, he says, this Biscardi and his crew, man, they just get in that truck and they just ride from one spot to the other, and they don't stop, man.
I got to tell you, Tom, your name's Biscardi, but, you know, I thought about that moment how you're Discardi because I call you, they could discard this guy in a minute. I thought to myself, holy smoke, this is too much on the miles. But I've traveled myself a lot of times all my life, you know, and so I figured, well, but this is a new experience. See, those guys, they drove 24/7, and we slept in shifts. And I was tired when I got there and tired when I left. I guarantee you that.
Mm-hmm. But you know what, Don? We met a lot of people. We've met a lot of sincere people. We met a lot of insincere people. We met a lot of envious people, jealous people. But you know what? You and I are still around, my brother. Don't ever forget that.
I'll tell you what, our methods are different, but we're coming across the same conclusions in time, I'm sure. It's around the corner pretty close, folks, when the world know more about this, these creatures than they do, right? Not very far away. And you might find it more than one kind.
That's right, my brother. That's right. Well, listen, Don, thanks so much. We got a lot more show, and I'm really
happy. Happy anniversary, and kudos to you.
God bless you. Just mute yourself out. You're going to hear a lot of more names that you know, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, brother. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a real man, okay? Here's a real man. Here's a man that you can put out there, and boom, he makes it happen just like the rest of our real team. Not the phonies, but the real. Without any, we got to go out there. I'm really getting behind, and Marco's giving me hell over here. Richard Stubstad, you heard me talk about him. He was a part of us, and he's still a part of us in our own way. We're the ones that brought those samples out to Melba Toast, and still haven't gotten them back. Richard, you out there?
I'm here. Congratulations on 5 years of history.
Thank you, brother. That's I like that. That is new, and it's wonderful, and thank you for it. And I got to tell you something. I got your other thing, and I'll be sending that out to you tomorrow, by the way. Okay.
Thank you.
So you will have it, and I'm in your court 175,000%, okay?
Okay. And, folks, just so you know what we're talking about, Tom went out to Melba Ketchum, Dr. Ketchum, and delivered some samples, and at least one of them turned out to be the real deal. And ultimately, she got lots of samples, but now none of us have access to any of the results. Even those of us who paid for them, even people who submitted the samples, nobody knows what's going on. So we figure that, well, what do we have to do? Well, we have to start over and go to a reputable lab in Europe this time. And so we're looking for samples that that can be vetted and ensured that they are the real deal or probably are the real deal. And we're heading for Europe this fall with some samples. And good luck to Dr. Ketchum. I'm sure she's doing a good job, but just that nobody knows. And she's going to need some either verification or rejection of her work by a different lab. And that's what we're up to. So anybody listening here, if you have anything, we'd sure appreciate it.
No, I'm glad you said that. Ladies and gentlemen, this wasn't rehearsed and we hadn't talked about this, but I'm going to tell you this straight up. The reason why all those samples were sent to Dr. Ketchum in the past, or the majority of, she was on my show. As you guys know, we got it recorded. It's documented, okay? It is documented, ladies and gentlemen. It's archived on our show. And we told everybody that if you have any samples, you can send them to her. That's when we were promoting her, all right? And then we go to find out a lot of you guys listen to us on the airwaves, know us, believe in us, sent these samples and evidence to her. We didn't find out about this. It wasn't until all this hoo-ha came about that a lot of the stuff came back as the real deal. I'm not going to say anything more about it, and Richard knows the best about it than anybody else, I believe, out there. Richard, thank you so much. I'll send that to you tomorrow. Thanks for being a part of history. 5 years, my brother, 5 years.
You're sure welcome, and I'll talk to you some other week.
God bless you. Mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show.
Okay, bye-bye.
Great guy, ladies and gentlemen. Smart as a whip. This guy is so incredible. Someday you're going to get to meet him. Go Google him. Look what he's done. He was involved in all this stuff out here. Without any further ado, let's get out there to another great guy. His name is Alan, West Virginia. Chris, you out there?
Chris isn't on, Tom. We're going to go to Scott.
Okay, fantastic. Well, what can I say about this guy that I haven't said? Here's a man, ladies and gentlemen. He's the Pangea Institute. He's a teacher. He's a scholar in my own eyes. He's probably one of the most informed cryptozoologists in the world. He has a new book out. I'd like to see him make a ton of money and educate a lot of you. And he's got a class coming up that he's going, I think, in November, going out on an expedition. He's leading one somewhere. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Florida and to my brother. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Tom.
Good to hear your voice, and thanks for taking some time.
Happy 5th.
Thank you so much. It means so much to us. You have no idea. It's been an incredible, incredible time for us right now. And you know, you and I have been on the phone quite a bit the last couple of days, and if some of these people only knew what was coming down the pipe, but you know, time will tell, and it'll all come out in the wash. Why don't you do one thing for me, if you could? First of all, tell everybody about your new book.
Well, Cryptid Creatures of Florida just came out by CFZ Press out of Britain, the United Kingdom. And it's available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble and several other online booksellers now. It's only been out about a week, so I really don't have any numbers yet, but I hope it's selling like hotcake because it's a fun book. I had a good time writing it, and I'm working on the sequel for it right now. As a matter of fact, I'm sitting in a hotel room in Perry, Florida, so I could call you as I'm up doing some more field research for the sequel. And I'll be up here all weekend between here and Panama City working the Apalachicola National Forest.
That's great. That's great. Listen, I was really amused about the article that's on cryptozoology.com by a wildlife photographer.
That yeah.
My attention. What'd you think of that?
Well, I mean, you know, John is known for calling a spade a spade. And, I think based on what I've heard about his episode in Land Between the Lakes that, he's definitely got some things to say. It's not fun to be punked.
So the money he spent for these guys that he imported from New Mexico and Arizona went down the tube?
Well, apparently so. At least that's what he's saying. And, John, of course, is the best... is the best judge of how he spent his money, you and I both know that you really have to do some background research with people before you plunk down any money on what they may or may not guarantee is going to happen in the field.
You're right. You are so right. Well, listen, thank you so much. I know how what the different time is out there. It's almost 11 o'clock, and God bless you, man, for being a part of my life, our life with SFBI, and know that anything you need, and if we can do it, we're there for you.
Appreciate it.
God bless you. Mute yourself
Take
up.
Take care.
A whole lot more show.
Do the best I can. I got to get off this hotel phone, though. My cell phone won't work here.
Oh, gosh. All right, buddy.
Not that far out in the nowhere.
Okay. God bless
All right.
you. Take care.
Take care. All right. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, my next guest is from North Carolina. He's a true friend, a guy that...
Tommy didn't make it on.
Okay.
Philip didn't make it on. We're going to go to Stacy.
Okay, down in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, here's an apple of my eye. Stacy Freitas and Lenny, her husband, gosh, these people are like family away from home. I have no idea how we love these guys and how they treated us. You guys out there?
Hi, Tom.
Hello. Hi, Tom.
Hey, you guys. Stacy and Lenny Freitas, ladies and gentlemen. You'll be seeing these two in Bigfoot Lives 3. Okay? There's such an abundance of stuff that we've taken around this nation. You know, Gray Road and all that, this is up in her area. But these guys saw something that'll blow your mind. Why don't you tell our listeners out there what happened and what crossed the road that day when you guys were coming home?
I'll let Lenny describe that for you.
Please do.
Sure. We were driving. It was pretty close to evening, but it was still light out, and we thought it come out of the woods ahead of us on the right-hand side of the road. We thought it was a deer at first, but once he completely come out of the brush, you know, he was standing, and he was kind of darkish brown, kind of like a deer, winter color, and he stood there for a second right at the side of the road, and then he just took two steps, and he was across the road, and then down into the other side of the ditch, and we were far enough away that we couldn't see his hands moving or anything like that, but he was there. He was pretty big.
What did you think at that time?
I... You know, when it first happened, we were just looking. At first, like I said, we thought it was a deer, and then I thought it was a guy cutting brush on the side of the road. And but once he stepped across the road, I knew, you know, that's not a... I knew it wasn't a person, and when we drove up there, then we couldn't see him. And I wanted to... I half wanted to stop, and Space didn't want to. And I, to tell you the truth, my hair was standing on end, too, so we... Actually, we just slowed down and looked, and when we couldn't see him anywhere, then we kept going. But at the time, then we said, well, we had to, you know, we saw what we saw.
Lenny, but yes. The part that sticks up in my mind, and will always, I'm sure, is when you told everybody how many steps it took to cross that road.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how many?
Yeah, it was just a couple steps.
Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. This one creature that they saw, it took two steps to cross that road. Bum, bum, and he's on the other side. Pretty incredible, my friend. How are things going with you guys?
Oh, good, good.
Is there anything going on in your area?
There was a sighting that we had here at the back of the woods in March.
Okay. What'd they say?
Well, it was Lewis, and I was standing in the living room, and he opened the patio door, and there was a creature or something looking in the window, and he shut the door quick, and he grabbed a gun and a flashlight, and he chased it down the hill to the fence line, and it had glowing green eyes, and then it just ducked down, and then it kind of moved away slowly, but it ran when it ran from the door.
Wow. Wow. Well, listen, it's been too long. We haven't heard from each other. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm leaving for the road here real soon. And we're going to be in your neck of the woods, so you know that I'm going to be calling you. And you're going to have a visit.
Okay.
Great.
Okay?
All right.
Great.
And hopefully I'll see that new arrival.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
God love you guys. You
okay.
Want to stand, just mute yourself. We got a whole lot more show, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good hearing from you.
Yep. Good to hear from you too, Tom.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Lenny and Stacy Frater. Some super, super people. You ain't going to find better people than them in Wisconsin. And boy, did they come to something that was awesome. You know, this next guest is, what more can I say?
We're going to go to talk to Philip Morris.
Oh, is he here?
Yes.
Good. My brother. Phil, how are you?
Hey, Tom. How are you? Good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Listen, likewise, I got to tell you, there's been so much going on, Phil. And you know, your name just came up Saturday, all right? And, of course, you know, it's always the same gibberish with the same old idiots. But nevertheless, you know, I come fighting tooth and nail for my buddy. And after they find out and they listen instead of talk, remember, those who pay attention and listen will be rewarded. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And when I show them and I direct them around and make it all happen, they all say, you know what? I think you're right. I says, I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the guy. Listen up close, everybody. This is the guy that sold the suit to Roger Patterson that you all think the Patty film. And that famous shot in 364, 366, whatever the hell it was. Here's the man that sold the suit to Roger Patterson. Remember how much?
$435.
$435, ladies and gentlemen. $435. I'm going to tell you something else. I wish to God he would have called me the day before July 15th, 2008, instead of calling me on July 15th, 7 p.m., because he was the one that called me and tipped me off about the two jerks from Georgia and said, hey, a good friend of mine called me and said he made that suit for those two cops. What did I do when I gave you the phone that night when you called me?
This is for those guys down in Georgia?
Yeah.
Well, you were very, very surprised, first of all.
and I really enjoyed talking with you, and I watched very closely what happened after that point, and that you went all out to straighten that matter out and to bring the truth to the surface.
Well, people don't realize that when you called me that night, we were having dinner at a restaurant. When you told me that, I said, really? I said, well, here's this guy right in front of me. Talk to him and tell him. Do you remember what he said to you?
That's right. You handed him the phone, and I do not remember exactly the conversation. You were there. Tell me, refresh my memory a little bit here.
Yeah, well, he says to you, no, it's real, and you says, no, it's not. I know the guy who made the news.
That's right.
Okay? And then he handed back the phone, and that's when I excused myself and called my boys up in Indiana and said, put that power heater on that thing and that block of ice, and let's see what we've got. This was the man, ladies and gentlemen, that helped me out and told me, hey, Tom, careful. Dastardly deed has been done, though. We had already turned over the 50,000 cash to these clowns.
This line is now muted.
Hello?
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Okay. But here's the man, ladies and gentlemen. You're hearing it himself. We've had a three-hour show on the Patty film. Here's the man that did it, okay? And there's people that are going to be out there and say, oh, well, I don't believe that that's true. Believe it. It is true. That's going to
it
be...
It is true.
There's three. Here's the man that...
Absolutely.
Yeah. How are things? Are you okay?
Oh, I'm doing fine, and business is great, and it's getting close to Halloween, and that's our Christmas, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think they know. I think that Bill has the largest Halloween costume and all artifacts in the world. Are you the largest now?
Oh, absolutely, around the world. Around
incredible.
The world.
We were at his facility. The storeroom was what, 1 million square feet?
Yes.
Can you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? 1 million square feet. God bless you, man, and thanks for coming on, taking from the night. You know, you could be a lot better places at 11 o'clock at night. Thank you for being sharing our 50-year anniversary, Phil. Can you imagine?
Tom, I hope you'll come see us again.
I'm leaving pretty soon, and you know what? North Carolina is around the corner. I'll tell you what. You know you'll stop. We'll stop. We love that barbecue.
That's great. That's okay. Good. I'm looking forward to it.
God bless you. Mute yourself out. We got a lot more show, Phil. And thanks again for being with us.
Thank you, Tom.
Bye-bye. Great man, ladies and gentlemen. Philip Morris. Wonderful man. He's telling you the truth about the suit. You'll see that in Bigfoot Lives 3 also. Nevertheless, we got to move on. I hope that this next guy, he's kind of related to me. He's my firstborn. So let's see if he's around. You out there down in Kentucky?
I'm not very around. I'm pretty skinny.
How you doing, son?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm sitting here thinking back 5 years on this radio. That is amazing.
Is that incredible, son? Is that incredible?
You know, I think about all the shows that come and go and, you know, fade off into the night. This one's still going. And, you know, I was a part of it, not as much as I am now, but still, it's a monument to what you've done, I'm telling you, Dad.
Well, you know, there's the old adage, son. There's a thing called, it says, persevering. And those who persevere will win in the end. I know it's tough, and we've gone through hell. People have no understanding what we've gone through. Those who are real, those who've been with us, know the truth, okay? And you know, I said something at the top of the show, son. I said, nobody could be in this industry as long as we have, and if they haven't been hoaxed, well, they haven't been doing the right thing.
They haven't been doing anything. Exactly.
Did you get a chance to listen to Rambling Jack's stuff that he did? Do you remember where we lived on Heflin? When
Rambling Scarborough.
Yeah.
And that final. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, today.
25, 30 years, yeah.
Yeah, 30 years. Can you imagine? Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? It's still happening.
I can listen to that vinyl, and I can still think about the songs, and they ring true in my ears.
Pretty incredible stuff, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, and we re-digitized the whole thing, and we're coming out with it now, and I'll tell you what. And, by the way, In the Shadow of Bigfoot has been redone, and that's coming out now, too. And you wait to see this thing. This is incredible. I didn't know that I was so young in the movie. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, that was over.
Dean Finley, you, yeah. And Ivan Marks, absolutely.
You remember that, huh? And the other guy with...
My heroes growing up.
Do you remember the other guy in the Jaguar?
Ernie Montiel. Oh, my goodness.
You sure remember it, didn't you?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. What a time, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ernie was the guy with all the talk, and Dean was the guy with all the technology. You were the guy with all the gumption, and Ivan knew about the woods.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
You remember, because you know what? I remember, I'll never forget this, when we were up on Ivan's ranch when it snowed. You remember that, when you were going sleigh riding down this hill?
I was sleigh riding down this front yard. He fed me bear meat my very first time.
People
absolutely.
And that. Do you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? He ate bear meat. Tommy ate bear meat the first time. How did we used to get water up at Ivan's ranch?
He had that little pump thingy.
Right.
It was a well, but it was that little thing that the pipe came up into his house, that white pipe around the side, and then came into the house.
That's right.
You know?
Tell him when you had to go to the bathroom. Where would you go?
I don't want to talk about it.
How did he keep the bears away from his house that night, son?
All those dogs.
And what else? Remember the speakers that he had?
The what now?
The speakers, the big loudspeakers that he had.
Oh, yeah. The big old giant World War II speakers.
Yeah, you remember them?
I do remember them now.
God. Oh, God.
Memories. You don't think about them unless somebody talks to you about it, you know?
I know. It's one hell of a time, and, you know, it's memories. And that's something that nobody can ever take from us, son.
No. And Peggy, you walk out of them cages with all them animals and wolves and bears and tigers, I remember, and walk right into them cages, open them up to stand here, and go in and feed them animals. And they were all wild. Yeah.
Well, listen, son, I know it's late by you, but thank you so much for being with us. I love you. Say hello to everybody for me, okay?
Good miss.
Thank you.
You got it.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my firstborn. You've seen him in the movies. That's TJ. My gosh, this is bringing back so many memories. You know, here's another guy, ladies and gentlemen. That
Tom, let's our next guest didn't make it on. You want to pause for the cause?
But let's do that.
Let's do it. Here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And back to you, Tom, and if they really want to see, or really want to see and hear, the whole episode of what took place on the hoax, the real story, you need to buy that movie and take a look at it. I've seen it about 20 or 30 times now, and it is a real, true documentary of everything that took place.
You know, thank you very much for that little 2 cents that you put in there, Bill. Because just today, I got a call from the East Coast. As a matter of fact, it was from we've entered our movies, a couple of them, and we've been accepted. And one of the judges had seen Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Well, they called me up today, and they said, oh, my God, Tom Biscardi, I was there at the edge of my seat in July of 2008, but nobody ever saw what you got down on film. And he says, you know what? The world owes you and your team an apology. So I feel real good about this. I feel real good about the phone call that we got. And you know what? If you haven't seen it, you need to get it. Who's up next here? So I'm afraid to ask.
Well, Jim Dawson.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, here's a hell of a guy. We're going out there to Arkansas via Illinois. He is one great guy. I'm going to be seeing him. He's coming out on expedition with me. Jimmy, you out there?
You bet. Tom, how are you, buddy?
I'm top draw. You know, this is a big for us.
Hey, you know, I'm so proud of you, and the main thing is the longevity, the tenure that you've held, 39 years in this business. There's been a lot come and go, 5 years with your own radio show. It's amazing. I'm so proud of you.
Well,
I'm just so proud of you.
That means an awful lot, you know, coming from you anyway. You know, we've got, ladies and gentlemen, let me give you a little background on this guy. He's in the insurance business, made a ton of money. But he never lost sight of the children that he has. He's got a boy. What do you call that he has? He's autistic?
Yes, Jack has autism. He's 12. He'll be 13 in November. And my daughter, JD, is 10.
Yeah. Now, they're both so talented in their own right, you wouldn't believe. His daughter is incredible. She can sing and enjoys music like you wouldn't believe, and he's doing so much to enhance her. And his son, if you know, my son are great daddies. I was a great daddy, I think. I try to be anyway. But this guy, oh my God, the day rises and sets on these children, and he does so much for them. But how he contacted me and says, you know what, Tom Biscardi? He says, I've got into all this, and I've gone all through the fluff and the puff and all the bullshit. He says, I want to get to know you. And I said to him, you know what? Okay, I'll pick you up on the way over to Vermont. He set that whole deal up. Did you learn anything when you were out with me?
It was amazing. Well, one thing I learned is how hard you work. It was incredible. You guys drove from San Francisco all the way to Chicago, nonstop, picked me up in Chicago, and then we drove nonstop all the way to Vermont. We drove through thunderstorms, I mean hours of thunderstorms and just curves and hills and shit and eating fast food and just jumping back in the truck and driving. I mean, I smoke and Tom does and nobody else smoked and Rob and I do. And we didn't even have time to finish a cigarette. We'd ride for 5 hours. We'd get out and he would fill up the truck and he was so fast we couldn't smoke an entire cigarette. And we were gone. God, I could have almost quit smoking that week.
I'm going to tell you this. Get ready and get your roller skates on because we're going to be rolling 5 different states in 5 days, okay?
All right.
And I don't want to disclose anything to anybody out there because there's a lot of people out there that can't go out and do their own research, and so they have to wait for our show and discuss. You know, sometimes, I forget who it was. I think it was my brother Bruce in Montana. He says, well, Tom, tell them some area that you're going to be and not show up. Let them go, and you go the other way. I just can't do it for some reason. I don't know why. But any event, you know what's coming down, and I'll be calling you in the next day or two and tell you the exact dates because I want you with me, okay?
Awesome. I love it. I was going to tell you, Jack's been going out with me and looking for signs and looking for stuff. We've been, you know, the temperature here in Arkansas dropped 30 degrees this afternoon. It's 60 degrees right now. And it's getting cool. It's in the low 70s, and I think these creatures are going to start moving. They're going to start moving south. It's going to be in the 70s all this week, and it's really exciting. So Jack and I were out Sunday in the woods, and he saw 2 pygmy rattlers, and he was just absolutely amazed. He's been looking at them online. You know, he loves snakes and talks about them, but to be that close to 2 pygmy rattlers, they were pretty good size. They're about 15, 18 inches long, both of them. And he was so excited. He played with those snakes for about 30 minutes with a stick, and he's been talking about it all week.
Let me ask you something. Are the snakes pretty still thick out this time of year?
Yes. Yes, it was in the close to 90 for the last 3 days here. That, you know, your theory about the weather, I believe, is correct. It's been up and down and hot and then cool and hot and then cool, and all of nature is kind of disrupted in a way. You know, you've got all the storms, you've got all this stuff going on around us, but I think everything's disrupted from this weather. And just like today, it was 85 and about 85% humidity earlier today. And by this afternoon, it was 70 and no humidity.
No, I got to tell you a story, and I'm glad that you understand what I've said. You're probably one of very few that know what the hell's coming down. And let me tell you something. People out there searching for Bigfoot better brace yourself, because we are going to be in for one hell of a winter. I'm telling you straight up. Don't believe me. Go to the World Almanac and see what it's going to be like this year. A lot of people have had a miserable summer. A lot of people have had no summer. It's going on record. God love you, Jimmy. I'll be calling you in the next couple of days. Say hello
awesome.
For me, okay?
Awesome, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thanks for sharing.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, a great guy, Jim Dawson. Now, if this guy's on the line, out in New York, I haven't heard from him in so long, and my gosh, he was one of the first guys that we went. Tim Holmes, you out there from New York?
Oh, you know I'm not going to miss your show, Tom.
Hey, good buddy. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I'm just wondering, when are you going to have a TV show? I know it's coming. I'm just trying to get the date out of you.
Well, there's
I know it. I know it's a secret, but I know it's coming.
Well, yeah, you know, and the problem of all this kind of stuff, when you sign contracts and you're in contracts, you've got to hush everything up. I can just tell everybody that there's a lot coming down the pike and a lot that we have discussed in the past. You know, this country has come on bad times, ladies and gentlemen. Hasn't been easy. But you know what? The cream rises to the top. Don't ever forget that, okay? And you know what? This old road warrior is still here and going strong, okay? Going strong. And I'll tell you this. You wait what happens in the next 60 days. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to put anything else out there. Timmy, there's one thing that sticks out in my mind, and I'll never, ever forget it about you. Ladies and gentlemen, when we met this guy, we met him out of Dunkin' Donuts in Elmira, New York. You remember that day?
Oh, yeah.
He comes there with this rig, four-wheel drive rig, that was all camouflaged up. And you remember that?
Oh, yep.
And the thing that I really was astonished about was when we went out into the field with him, he's not afraid to use that shotgun. You still use it?
Oh, I got it now. You know, believe it or not, I'm at an outdoors office out here in Schmung, and I'm out here now next to the woods.
Oh, are
you know,
really?
We got mountain lions that moved into the area. We got a lot of mountain lions up here now, so it's you go out at nighttime around here, you better have a big flashlight and a big shotgun, because these things are just running around the yards at night, and it's very dangerous around here.
Well, I can attest to this, ladies and gentlemen. I've been with this guy. Okay.
Oh, I know you. I know when you guys are out there searching, when people don't realize this, you know, with all these floods that are going on, we're going to have the worst winter in the history of Earth here, you know, coming December. And all these animals are just coming into the human population, and I know you see it.
Big time.
And people don't prepare for it, and then they see it, they're like, oh, God, what's going on?
Yeah.
And it's kind of dangerous for Bigfoot hunters to be out there. So you got to be prepared, because all these animals that you don't see that used to be way in the background are now coming, up front. And we bump into some weird things, you know, and you just got to be prepared for it.
You know, Tim, I got to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
I got an email from somebody just recently stating that you, myself, and some of our other friends that they're in a we're in a movie out there, and I don't know anything about it. Do you?
I don't know any. I told Bill the other day about it. You know, I know you guys get a lot of film producers and all that, and we get them down here. And there's a film that came out, and I swear to God, I haven't seen it. All I know is it was taken on Kinetic Hill a very long time ago, and what's going on with these film producers now, because Finding Bigfoot from the BFRO, of course, which was a terrible TV show, believe me. Now everything's Bigfoot. You turn on the thing. So what the film producers are doing, anything on Bigfoot, they're trying to get it out there, you know, on a DVD and make money off it. It's one of these cases where the film producer, one in many, you know, just made a Bigfoot documentary. And believe it or not, it's just searching for Bigfoot, and I don't know, and I haven't seen it. I don't. You're in there, I'm in there, Becky's in there, and I heard they mixed a lot of stuff in there, but I honestly I haven't seen it, and they said it's coming out here shortly, so I just got to wait to see, you know, what's in it. But like I said, I know nothing about it. I know it's called Bigfoot Hunters Still Searching, and like I say, I tried to get a copy of it and all that. I don't know anything about it, you know. I don't know. I have to apologize to you, you know, with these film producers. I don't know. I know you're in there and I'm in there, but I don't know how we're in there. And this is what makes me sweat when I talk to you, you know.
Well, I understand, Tim. You know what? I'm just going to put it out to our listeners out there. If anybody knows that there's a movie out there with Tim Holmes and myself, Tom Biscardi, in it, let us know and send me the link, because we want to find out if they are duplicating any of our stuff and they don't have our permission. We'll put a stop and cease and desist real quick. Listen, Tim, we've got a lot more show ahead of us, and I got to get these people in here. God love
you. I'll be listening to the show until it ends. We got
okay, good.
Tonight,
Thanks for sharing it with us, okay?
Okay, yep, thanks.
Thanks, buddy. That's Tim Holmes, ladies and gentlemen, one of the beginning forefathers of it. Listen, this next guest is on. All you single women, look out, because he's out.
Yeah, Roger didn't make it, so we're going to go to Rob.
Oh, well, that's even better. Here's a guy, ladies and gentlemen, Alabama. He's trekked more time out in the woods with me than a lot of the guys. You've seen him, you heard about him, you're going to be seeing him real soon, real quick, up close and personal, thank God. And that's happening real soon. I can't give you any dates, but real soon. How are you, son?
Doing great, Chief.
You know, I got to tell you, it does my heart good. I've been listening all night, you know, to some of these wonderful people, and some of the people, I guess, couldn't come because the time difference. You know, here it is 11:30 on the East Coast, but some of the people have already, you know, they stay up no matter what. Some of them get the dust. They can't say anything. They can't hang. But I got to tell you, son, it's been a joy and an honor to have you with us and on our team. And, you know, everybody says to me, well, Steve, since Youngblood is with you and has been the closest with you, why don't you have him give out a few minutes on exactly what was his most exciting trip with you? And I says, well, there's been so many. Put it out to him and see what he says. Go ahead.
Well, I tell you guys, it's always a question that comes up. What's the most exciting trip? I can't, I really, from all the different things that we've got going on, some of the things that are public knowledge and some of the things that, as of today, are not, I can't say that there has been any one experience that has been the absolute best experience, because all of them have been equally rewarding and challenging in their own individual way. All I can say as far as that goes at this time is that, man, it has been one hell of a roller coaster ride. We've had the ups, we've had the downs. You know, we've been beat up, we've been knocked around, but we're still here and we're still getting the job done, unlike no other.
Truer words were never spoken, ladies and gentlemen. And I got to tell you, okay, we're on our trek real soon here, and we're all going to be together and some new people that are with us. And I got to tell you, this trek is going to be off the chain, okay? Nothing that you see on Finding Bigfoot with those other guys, you're going to be seeing us getting our feet wet and rolling up our sleeves and getting some stuff done that has never been done before in the Bigfoot field.
Did you need to go to Walmart? Huh?
Who goes to Walmart? Who's that? Marco, who's that Walmart?
I don't know.
Sorry, guys. I didn't know I was on... I didn't know I was on a line. Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, here's the guy. You're going to see him in the next movie. And I can just tell you this. You're going to be seeing him on the big screen here real soon. That's all I can tell you. Okay? I can't say any more, but you're going to see him real soon on the big screen. So you're going to, those of you out there that really wanted to see Youngblood action, well, be patient. He's coming. So you want to give him a little tidbit of, why don't you do this real quick, okay? Give them a little tidbit of Arkansas, just a little bit.
Well, I can say this. It's going to be the biggest thing since man has landed on the moon when this comes out. All the fears and all the doubts and all the people out there that are into, you know, thinking about conspiracy or anything like that, wondering exactly how deep does government involvement actually run in your day-to-day operation and your day-to-day life. You're going to find out firsthand when we release the evidence and the findings that happened in Arkansas.
You know what? Truer words were never spoken, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you what. You are going to see and hear things that will blow your mind, okay, as it did ours. This has been in the making now going on 2 years. Well, actually, how long has it been on? I forget.
It's been over 2 years, Chief, before since we got the call. We went out. We took six.
Okay, yeah.
Stops, 24/7 business as usual.
Well, all right, son. Listen, thanks so much. And as a matter of fact, I'll call you in a few minutes, and we'll get our next step going here. But just mute yourself out. I'm sure you're enjoying this as much as I am. But all these guys in the past.
It's been a fantastic show, and I'd like to thank everybody that's been part of it because you guys are the ones that make what we do possible. Remember.
Amen. I'll parrot that all night long. Thanks, son. Just mute yourself out. Ladies and gentlemen, he's my sidekick. He's the one that watches my back. And I'll tell you what, nobody out there like him. True story. Now, without any further ado, I want to get out there to New Mexico. I got a man that's a real man, ladies and gentlemen, a man that his word is his bond. His colors are our colors because his colors don't fade. They're like the American flag, like ours are the American flag. He tells you he's going to do something, he does it. His word's his bond. He don't one iota. Without any further ado, I want to get out there to New Mexico and talk to my good friend, Dave Ortiz. Dave, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, and you can come to Walmart with me if you'd like, too.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Ladies and gentlemen, if you guys wait until November 17th, I think it is, you'll be seeing all the Bigfoot movies. Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, In the Shadow of Bigfoot. They'll all be on sale and over there in Walmart. So, if you want to wait that long, but it's there. So, how are you been? How's things been over there?
Been doing good, Tom. And you know what? Since the last time I talked to you very recently, there's a lot of activity going on around here, Tom.
Really?
Yeah. I have a class outside of town here in our study area, actually. And I just got some reports from students in my classroom what's going on in their neck of the woods.
That right.
And, it's actually quite active. Some of these people are saying, Dave, I just saw a creature just the other day out in the field at night. It's a shadowy-looking creature and screaming and yelling and stinking up the whole area. And This is, and this area is just right within sight of the school grounds, too. It's like, that's pretty amazing.
Well, the vegetables and the fruit season's coming in now there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's coming out. The corn has come out. Vegetables are becoming very ripe now. So, yeah, the pumpkins, they're going after pumpkins, which are grown pretty heavily around this area, too.
What about the corn?
Yeah, corn is coming out. I think it's almost ripe, and that's exactly where these creatures were seen, too, in the cornfields.
Wow. You know, I got to tell you, it's an amazing area out there. Totally
yeah.
Amazing area. I mean, I'm not just talking about cryptids. I'm talking about UFOs are sighted in that area all the time.
Yeah,
you know anything about that?
Yeah, I just took a picture 2 weeks ago of what looks like a UFO. I didn't do it intentionally. I was taking pictures of lightning, and there was a little bright dot in the picture, and I started zooming it in, and sure enough, it's like a little bell. Well, I don't know how big it really is, but it turned into a bell-like shape with a round top on it. And I sent the picture to Marco Bill. I don't know if you got to see it yet, but it's pretty
nope, exciting. I haven't put it up yet, David, but I did get it, and I'll be putting it up tomorrow probably.
Great. And I just had a report from one of the students saying they saw that same exact craft flying up just down the valley here, too. They saw it actually about a week ago.
Wow. You know, hey, by the way, you know, I feel so bad about our associates in your area that were all jacked up, thought they were going to be in a movie, and they were all going to get big money and get their guns out of hock and all that kind of crap, and nothing happened. If you get to talk to them people, would you be kind enough to tell them I'm so sorry for them, and I don't want to come back and say I told you so, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I sure will, Tom.
No, I feel so sorry for our brethren and how they've been led down that primrose path of nothing, and I wish them nothing but the best. But I'll tell you this, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, as well as Marco Bill, for your loyalty and your support, and I hope God is with us forever and ever.
Thank you, Tom. You two are great friends of mine and will always be.
Oh, it means a lot. Hey, listen, how is temperature changing over there by you guys?
Yeah, it's actually quite cool here. It's right now it's in the 50 to about 56, 57 degree mark and dropping. So, yeah, we're definitely into full swing fall now.
Okay, that's what I needed to know. All right, well, let's mute yourself out. We've still got a lot more showing. Thanks for joining us, huh, buddy?
Hey, thank you, Tom. Great to be here.
Okay.
Thank
Ladies
you.
And gentlemen. A true, real man, Dave Ortiz. Been there from the beginning, and he hasn't changed his colors. He's a real man. You know that? He doesn't sell out his soul to the devil because he knows who his friends are. Love that man. You know what? I hope this guy's on. This is my Italian brother from another mother, Steve Cothran. You all heard of the gentle giant. Well, I hope everybody's on the phone. About there, Steve-O?
Hey, Steve.
Heard me talk about him, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Cochran, gentle giant. You out there, Steve?
Tom, I think he's dialed in. It's an unknown because he's using his Skype. And maybe he's on the doggone chat room and not listening. But I tell you what we can do for now is we can go to Don.
Let's go to Don Labriola. Here's another Paisan out there in Illinois. How you doing, Don?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, as you know, we talk practically every day or every other day. It's off the charts, Don. There's so much going on, and I've predicted it. I've told everybody weather changes and what's going to happen with creatures and the sightings that's happening all over the country. And you know what? I got to tell my listeners out there about you. The hell with me. They all know who I am, what I do. This guy, ladies and gentlemen, he contacted me a while back, and he's part of, what do you want me to say there? I don't speak out of school. Don?
You mean my title?
Yeah.
I'm a local elected official, and I'm also involved in communications and of law enforcement.
Okay. That's great. By the way, excuse me, Marco.
Yeah, I'm here.
The gentle giant says he's dialed in. He can't hear you or I. I'm seeing.
It's his phone, Tom.
Oh, it's his phone. Okay, well,
yeah.
Steve, I hope you understand that Marco said it's your phone. It's a bum kick somehow. Call in on a real phone. Appreciate it.
Fucking idiot. Hello.
There you are.
Okay.
Yeah,
Don, stay there. Stay there, Don. Is this you, Steve?
It's me. I didn't have this stupid, dumb microphone on this computer set right. My magic jack kept blocking it.
How have you been, by the way?
By the way, I want everybody to know that the top 5 Christmas now, like Tony Thompson, another 20 years, because I know he ain't old. He's still young.
Well, I thank you,
and
but you're breaking up.
I'm sorry. By the way, you gained a nickname Billy Goat. I wonder how.
Yes, trekking out in the woods, that's how. Listen,
yeah.
How have things been up there in Northern Cal?
Well, last year, just before the end of the year was up, I did have a Bigfoot encounter. There were workers up here on working on one of these old roads. I rushed up the side of a mountain. Sure enough, there was a Bigfoot sitting behind a tree. I didn't realize it was there. The whole tree moved, and I sat there, and I'm like, what the hell? And I just put my finger to my mouth to be quiet. We've seen all these workers going up the road. And I thought, I'm getting the hell out of here. And he was only like 10 feet away from me.
Wow. Has the weather changed up there by you?
Rained yesterday for about 15 minutes and they quit. But I'll tell you the reason why we're having all this weird weather. And I want to make this short and sweet as I possibly can. If everybody would go outside, we're having a pole shift. That's why these animals and creatures are so screwed up right now. It's not even fun. We are having a pole shift. And if you walk outside at night and take a look at the Milky Way? Last year, the Milky Way used to go from north to south. Now the Milky Way is from west to east. If that ain't proof we're having a pole shift, I don't know what is.
Yep. You know, I've said it. You've heard me talk about it. You've agreed with me. Ladies and gentlemen,
exactly.
We've been back a long way. And he's been in our rooting section for a long time. He's taken a bunch of crap down the line, but he's giving it back to them.
I ain't worried about it.
Yeah, I know that. But
now
he's still with us.
I want to tell you something else that's going to blow your mind away, because I know Marco knows this. I'm going to let you know now. My father, William Jean Cothran, grew up, and he met Ivan Marks and Peggy in Lafayette County years and years ago when I was a kid. Now, a lot of people don't realize that Peggy and Ivan both had a couple of boys.
Yeah, well, I know them well. One of them, and they're both dead, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know if one of them were dead or both of them. I wasn't sure.
Oh, the grandsons are alive and his daughter's alive.
Right.
And Peggy's still alive.
Yeah, I know. I tried calling her up last year, but all the phone kept doing was ringing off the hook. Oh, I just said heck with it. But yesterday, me and my mother both were talking about Ivan and Peggy both. She asked me if I heard anything about it. I told, you know, I tried calling up there, but all the phone kept doing was ringing off the hook. So I just
stopped. Do you remember the year that was that she knew him, met him?
That was in 1972, Tom.
Okay, well then, I'll bet you that depending on the time of the year that I met your mother and father also.
I wouldn't doubt it, because here's a clue. You may not. My father was blind all his life.
Now, okay, let me ask you this. Did they live somewhere around the Olive Town up there?
No, my mother and father lived right around the corner from the Hoopah Reservation, where the casino is in Redding now.
Oh, no, that's, I know where that is. Hell yeah. Yeah, I know where you're talking about. Okay, yeah.
But my dad used to go up to Bernie, give a talk at the church, and then after that, you used to go up and see Ivan and see if they were home. We always used to go up for dinner. And you're right about the bear, by the way. That tastes a lot more tender than any meat I've ever tasted in a store.
Well, Peggy used to put it in that slow cooking thing there and let
Dutch
it go
oven.
For 12, 13 hours. And my God, it was tender as hell. But you can put any meat there. The only thing about
yeah, and you know what really got to me is when she used to go out and feed those animals. I'd stick to my dad's side. I thought, I ain't going out there. No way.
She had a pet cougar, you know. He raised
yeah, I know.
A baby, and she had it in, screened in that meshed fence that they built up there. Amazing people. Just incredible.
Yeah, I used to play with one of the coyotes.
Yep, she had them all. Well, listen, Steve, thank you so much. I got Don in Illinois still holding on, but God love you and continued on, and hopefully, we'll be around for many more years.
I hope so.
Okay, mute yourself out. Thanks for being with us. Don, you
all
still
right,
there?
Bye-bye.
I'm still here, partner. I'm still here. I'm glad you were able to bring your son back online.
Well, that wasn't my son. That was Steve Cawthorne. He's a gentle giant. This guy is 7'1", and he's been a supporter of ours ever since we've had the show, and he's one hell of a guy. I got to tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something about this guy, Don. Besides being a man of his town, he's on the board there of whatever they do. I don't know if he wants to throw it out, but he has taken the time, okay? He has taken the time to be of a lot of help to me and my organization. And I can just tell you this, does all the due diligence. He's a man that doesn't bullshit. He's straightforward. Same ethnic group as myself. He's Italian. And he's from Illinois. And you're going to be hearing a lot of his name. You're going to be seeing him in some film coming up. And it's an honor that I got to meet this man on the phone. We're going to be meeting him in public here in the next couple of weeks. But just to know that he's there means an awful lot to us. And I want to thank you for that, Don.
Well, Tom, I want to thank you. Congratulations on your 50th anniversary of the show. And you know, we need a sounding board, a legitimate sounding board, where people will be able to call in and discuss sightings and their feelings about the future. And until you came out here with this, we didn't have that. Now we do.
I appreciate
people know they can call in. Know they can call in and be treated fairly, and get their message out. So we're working on a project up here in my area. You called me about last week, and we're working with a couple of young men that had an incredible adventure. Now they have some evidence, and you know you're going to be seeing that evidence soon.
I know it's very. Thank you. I heard from them today, and. I just can't wait. This roller coaster ride is going to be off the chain. Youngblood and I are ready. And let me tell you, I got some new people involved with us. And we're going to have one hell of a time out there together.
That's wonderful. I mean, I just I hope I'm around for the 10th anniversary.
Listen, God pass and say amen. Hey, by the way, I made a mistake. The gentle giant isn't 7'1". He's 7'4", ladies and gentlemen. 7'4". Incredible. Wow. He's a pretty big dude. Anyhow, Don, still got a couple of more guests. I'm going to call you the next couple of days. God bless you. Thanks for staying up this late and being with us.
Okay, guys. Congratulations again. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye, Don. Great guy, ladies and gentlemen. Great big help to us also. Now, here's a guy coming up. He's in Arizona, and I hope he's with us. I think this is – is this Thor, by the way?
No, Tom. This is Tyrone Jensen. He's from Mississippi. Tyrone, are you there? I got a – Tyrone? Okay, who's area code 603?
Rex.
Hey, well, Tyrone didn't make it. We got Rex.
Hey. My son, how are you, Rex?
Fine, Pop. How are you?
Al, I got to tell you, wow. We have
been for 5 years.
Yes, 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 yep. You know what? I got to tell you something. There are so many people out there that have heard your name, and they're seeing you in Bigfoot Lives 2, Rex. And they're saying, wow, how long has Rex been with Tom? Why don't you tell everybody, I don't want to call, I'll just give you a few buzzwords, but why don't you tell everybody how you got hooked up with us?
I've known you since before there ever was a Searching for Bigfoot, Inc.
And that's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to what he's got to say. Go ahead, tell him.
In the summer of 2005, I was waiting at the airport. My wife's plane was late. I was listening to the radio and heard on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie, this guy named Tom Biscardi was trying to capture a Bigfoot. And you made an invitation to anyone that wanted to join in to call up Java Bob Bigfoot Dilly and join in. So I thought about it for a couple of days, and I called.
What happened?
During my call, you interviewed me. You said your VP would interview me, and you accepted my accepting of your invitation, and I was up on Tuesday. That was Friday night, and I got up there on Tuesday. And my life has been changed ever since.
You know what, Rex? I got to tell you something. There's three things that stick out in my head about you. One is that I'll never forget is the longest and largest print we've ever uncovered, but the one that you uncovered up there in Northern California, up in Happy Camp. Tell everybody that story, would you?
Well, that day, that Tuesday I arrived, you gave me a camera and you sent me in that tent back of Tara's backyard.
Yeah.
I come down the mountain, down to the creek.
You're kind of breaking up, Rex. Bill, what's going on?
Don't know, Tommy. Somehow he just, his mic cut out.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah. You're there now, Rex.
Okay. So I got bored after three nights, and I decided to go hike up that hill. So I went hiking up that hill and right along the trail. It was almost dusk, and right there beside the trail was a footprint. A spirit that was on the edge of the trail, and I was so amazed.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to please forgive us, you know, especially at this great time of the evening and our, this wonderful show tonight. We're having some difficulties here, and I don't know what's causing it.
That might be his phone cutting out, Tom.
Is that what it is, you think?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
We're all fine. Everything's going out good.
Okay. Can you hear us at all, Rex?
I can hear you.
Okay.
So there you go.
Got my other phone. That was my wireless phone, but now I'm on landline here.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, now, I saw this thing, and what was it? It was a giant print, right?
What was that again?
When you saw this print, what did you do? What went through your head?
Well, I looked at it, and I was just amazed that I could find something like this on my fourth day Bigfooting ever. And I looked at it, and I looked at it, and it looked perfectly like a big, huge footprint, right footprint, the big toe area and the kind of angles down, and I was just amazed. I wasn't quite, it was unbelievable, so I didn't quite believe it, but I went down the mountain, and we called you and told you about what I found, and your team was out there in Nevada, so you guys didn't get back for about 2 or 3 days. That was a Friday night, so you guys didn't get back till Monday. And then when your assistant there came up to look at the footprint, I watched him blow the dirt out. And as he blew the dirt out, I could see five clear toes. And it was just an amazing experience.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, that print today, as far as I'm concerned, still is the largest print I've ever seen casted by a member of anybody that was associated with me. Do you remember the size?
I think it was 8 or 8.5 inches wide and 21 or 22 inches long, something like that.
Yeah, 22 by 9, that's exactly what it was. And just an amazing, amazing piece of evidence. You know what? The other thing that sticks out in my mind, well, there's a lot. But when we were in New Mexico, you know what I'm going to talk about right now?
I don't know which one. Go ahead.
Okay, this is in New Mexico. Going up.
That was where I found my last footprint.
Ah, but before the footprint, when we were going up that desolate area, as you looked over to the right, what did you see? In the rig.
Oh, as we were driving, yeah, I saw something, some big gray ball of something, fur or whatever, and I said, I think I see something. And you guys stopped, and we couldn't see out there. I tried to walk back to the back up the road to see if I could figure out if it was an optical illusion or not, but I could not find any bush that was like what I saw. There was some gray thing that was there and then wasn't there anymore, and it must have ducked down into the creek area.
A ravine. It was a ravine.
The ravine, yeah.
And by the way, who was the one that went with you out of the rig down that ravine?
You did, Tom.
That's the
you
truth.
And I got over there.
Yeah. Now, here's the other part that I want you to tell all our listeners out there. What happened when we went up that road, up that mountain? Remember the top of the mountain where we were going?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What was it called?
The Lukachukai Mountains.
Lukachukai Mountains. Do you remember that we were on three wheels at some point?
Oh, yeah, I watched the Jeep ahead of us with the cameraman and the reporter, and they were on three wheels. That fourth wheel was up in the air.
Oh, you bet.
The ruts were so deep.
Tell everybody what happened when we got to the top of the mountain.
Well, top of the mountain, I was anxious to get going and go up to see the caves, and TJ wanted to get up. And up there. So TJ and I started walking up that hill. And about, I don't know, whatever, 20 minutes into the hike up that hill, I told Tommy, I think I hear something. And then you called on the radio about 2 minutes later saying, you think you saw something. I heard it uphill and to our left, and you described that you had seen something up toward our left. So whatever I heard, you saw. And Tommy and I went over in that direction. And then you told us to wait up because you were sending up the cameraman.
What did you find up there?
I don't remember finding anything. You guys told us, you guys thought you saw maybe a cave, but by the time we got there, it was too small to be any cave. What Tommy did was Tommy looked down back toward camp. I mean, back to where you all were parked, and he saw where he wanted to go exploring. Is that what you want me to tell you now?
Yep. And what did we find?
We went back down the hill after the cameraman met up with us. We went back down there, and Tommy stretched us all out, the whole team, said, let's go look in this area for footprints. And sure enough, and it was amazing, we found a line of footprints.
You know what? I got to tell you something, Rex. Incredible, because you know, isn't it amazing how this stuff sticks to mind?
Yep.
Huh? But you'll never forget this till the day you die.
Exactly.
What was the most incredible time that you ever had on? You've been on what, 11 or 12 expeditions with me?
Well, yeah, I've lost count. Something like that.
Okay. Okay.
Well, the one that there've been several and. Several exciting ones. The one I've been remembering about is the one we talked about on show number one 5 years ago. And that was when we were looking for the bunkers at Visor Creek.
Oh, my God.
We were boated in.
Yes. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead.
We were boated in. Tommy went up to go up the dirt road that was there. And he found one bunker, and he told us about it, and me, you, and Java Bob were going up the road, and some sound was off to our left. and you thought it was Tommy, but I was thinking about Tim because Tim did the same thing just 2 weeks earlier, hiking off trail to our left. I thought it was Tim, you thought it was Tommy, but whatever it was, we then turned around. We didn't know what it was. We kind of excused it away as one of our team members because there was so many of us there. But we looked down at the road, and the cameraman, Todd, who made the movie number one, and our local guest, Texas, Mike Sells, were both looking, and Mike was pointing into the woods where we had heard the sound for Todd. Todd had seen a flash. Mike says it was a Bigfoot. Oh, and before that, about half an hour before that, we were boating up to that area, and Don Monroe signaled to me. He said he thought he saw maybe there was a creature over in the bushes off the coast. I don't know. Maybe so. He's not quite sure. He can't say for sure that it was, but it was interesting, pretty coincidental that he did tell me. I think there's something out there. So anyway, sure enough, we all finally went out to that location where we heard the sound, where Mike had seen the creature, and there were footprints in the wet leaf litter. And that was shown in there in Bigfoot Lives, the first movie.
Yep, I remember it like it was yesterday. You know, there's so many times that we've been out there in Texas, and I got to tell you, I don't think anybody has worked that area as extensive as we have. But wow, it yielded an awful lot to each and every one of us. And
yeah, I still kick myself. You know, here we excused it away, the sounds away, as somebody from our team, and I'd always thought, well, if I hear something, I'm going to run after it. And here we traveled all that way, drove in our cars to Texas, got on the boat 20 minutes down to the other side of the lake, and then we missed it because we thought it was one of our team members.
Well, you know,
arg.
Yeah, I know. What sticks out in my mind, I remember when that other reporter came up, and we were all there, and you were in charge of all this stuff. It blew me away because I said to myself, oh, my God. He was there with me, and we saw Night Eyes. Remember that?
Right. Oh, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, I caught that on one of my cameras, at least the conversation.
Yeah,
you were standing by one of my cameras.
Of ravine. And I says to myself, oh, my God, here they finally saw it. You know, there's a guy in the chat room named Tim Yancey. Yeah, Tim Yancey, I watch the chat room. Anything you want to say, don't feel... I'll be more than happy to relate anything that you have to say. I'll tell you that you have been a part of me for a long time, and I think that what you've seen, what you heard, what you've been involved with me will go down with you to your deathbed.
Yes.
But I will never, ever forget you.
And I won't forget you.
You've been such a wonderful help to me, and I got to tell you, it brings tears to my eyes that we're still together. I love you, man.
Love you too, sir.
God bless you.
Hey, Tom.
You
Don.
What?
Tom. Don is back on again too. Don, did you have something to say?
No. You know, I lost the connection, guys, and I wanted to call back.
Okay.
We've been having issues out here with our cable and everything else. I just want to make sure you guys understand we all appreciate having you out there, somebody that's in a leadership role, this phenomenon, and you know we can call to get straight, honest answers.
Hey, that means a lot to me, Don. And again, thanks for being there with us. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in this next couple, 3 weeks with us. That's all I can say, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a guy out there named Tim Yancey. Tim, go to TomBiscardi@gmail.com. TomBiscardi@gmail.com. And I'd love to talk to you. Send me over your phone number, and I'll call you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, from the bottom of my heart, bottom of Marco Bill's heart, and from here, there, and everywhere around the world and around this globe, kudos and salutation. If it wasn't for you, there'd be no us.
God bless each and every one of you.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise to the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they have to unlock the door.